Welcome to Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, helping coaches, speakers, and trainers to live their purpose, grow their business, and make an impact in the world. Now, here's your host, Simona Vincenzi.
Hello, amigos. Here is another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Brought to you by gtex.org.uk, growing together exponentially. I am your host, Simone Vincenzi, and this is the podcast for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Yes, exactly. I'm talking about you, my friend. Today's episode is sponsored by Explode Your Coaching Business Training, our one-day advanced intensive training where you will create your coaching business from scratch. So for more information, visit www.gtex.org.uk/start. Now, I'm so excited, pumped, buzzing about today's episode. Why? Because I'm interviewing the one and the only Pete Scott. He's a corporate trainer and an international speaker. Now, in this interview, I'm going to ask him some questions. Why? Because Pete did something incredible. He quit his job in 30 days and replaced his full-time income as a coach and a trainer. Now, it doesn't have to be that you have to wait 2 years or 3 years or working part-time. But actually, if you follow his steps, you can do it in 30 days. Is it going to be easy? Listen to the interview and let's see what Pete did. Now, if you want to reach out to me, of course you want, and you want to ask me any question, or you want to offer me an ice cream, or I'm vegan, so vegan ice cream, just email me. Yeah, email me. Simple. simone@gtex.org.uk, and that goes straight into my inbox. And with that in mind, start the music. Go.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Here is your host, Simone Vincenzi, the purpose strategist, and today I'm here with the one and the only Pete Scott. How are you, Pete?
Very good. It's great to be here in the studio with you as well. So feeling good. And after a busy day, productive day.
So, day. Yeah, that's great. And before I introduce yourself, I'll make the introduction. I have one question for you, just through a bit of
One that I'm not expecting.
Exactly, you're not expecting. What is one of the weirdest thing that you've ever done in your life? Legal. Weirdest thing that you've ever done in your life or that you saw happening and is legal.
This is one of these moments where you think, why can't I think of something?
My life is so boring.
Well, many crazy things. So weirdest thing that was legal. I know you know already. So I worked on cruise ships for a number of years.
Yeah.
So many things happened on board the cruise ships. I'm not sure how borderline legal they were. I would say, no, the weirdest thing. Can it be the funniest thing?
No. Funniest thing?
Anyway. Well, it wasn't. Well, I remember having a pool party when I was a manager at a gym with all my staff after hours, and then I lost my job over it.
No, what happened?
I thought it was a great, because we did so well that month.
Yeah.
That I thought it'd be a great idea to celebrate how well we did by obviously, thinking it was a good idea and health and safety and all that to invite all the staff back to the gym
and have a pool party.
And
so, guys, for those of you that are running a gym, if you're having a great month as a business manager, as a gym manager, don't have a pool party.
So nothing fails like success,
Exactly.
Celebrating that success and inviting all the staff to be there. Yeah, don't do it.
Okay, don't do that right now. Well, for those of you guys that don't know Pete Scott, I actually very recently came across him because it was really interesting how we came across. Now, it was one of these guys that, work a lot in the background and then things happen and make things happen. Sometimes you have all these people that are blah, 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 blah on Facebook, seems that their life is amazing, and then they're like, oh my God, they're depressed and all that.
But yeah, public image is different to the private one. Yeah.
You did actually the opposite. You actually built stuff first. And then you went out there and say, guys, look what I built. And for those of you that don't know, Pete Scott, in only 30 days, decided to start his own business, quit his job without without savings and anything, and said, okay, I'm going to make it happen. And in 30 days, replaced his full-time income, creating a training company, and now he's a successful speaker and trainer, is flying all over the world. So it's a great pleasure for interviewing you, buddy, in particular for the hustle
that you put in. Thank you for having me here. Yeah, you got a hustle, right?
The hustle.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit more before I pick your brain? Because what I would love really to understand is how the heck did you do that? Because we have a lot of people out there that want to quit my job, want to start my business.
I'm happy to answer. So all I can share is really my story behind that and, you know, what worked for me. And I remember I had a great job. I actually had a corporate training job, which I enjoyed, but it was a false sense of security. And every day that I was in that job, the desire and that inner voice of doing my own thing and knowing that I could make a bigger difference and live on my own terms.
Yes.
And that became the most important thing. And I remember thinking, okay, what am I more scared of? Am I scared of doing this? Or am I more scared of not doing it? I always say that I think that my fear is actually reverse engineered. I think that's, you know, anyone can reverse engineer their fear because we're all scared of something, right? But in that time, it's like, if I don't do it, how am I going to be in a year from now? I might not be dead physically, but I'll be dead emotionally. And that scared me more than anything.
Yeah.
So that drove me to say, okay, let me do this. And I sat in my garden at the time. I lived in the studio flat in London, but one thing I had was this garden. And I took half a day out and I wrote down, I just said, let me write down why I can make this work. And I still have that scrap piece of paper somewhere. And I came up with, you know, more than like 20, 30 solid reasons. And I just remember looking at that and going, you got to do it. Yeah, that's how it started.
Can you remember one of the things that you wrote in there? One of the reasons why you could make it?
Well, the whole reason why I wrote that in the first place, because I've tried this before and it didn't work. Mm. And the reason why
starting your business, but it didn't work.
I didn't quite quit my job.
Okay.
But my job was no longer there.
Okay.
As in I got, you know, I wasn't too employable, let's put it that way, in that job. Probably related to the pool party, but at the same time though, the first time I did it wasn't on my terms. I actually remember, I know that you guys use this thing like living on your own terms and all that, which is, that's the exact wording that I had. And I said, you're doing it on your terms this time. And that was one of the key points that I actually put down there. But also what I put down was I was doing it this time round, I was doing it with complete clarity. Complete clarity. Like how I see you now is how I could see it, you know, without like seeing things in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
I could see it so clearly that if I just followed a simple but effective process, I could make it work.
That's brilliant. So we're going to drill his mind to take from him everything he knows about that process, guys. So you can really start your job if you're a coach or a speaker or a trainer. Absolutely. You can really apply it because now he's teaching these strategies all over the world. So I would love you really to take that on board. But the question I would love to ask you before that is, was it easy? What did it take? What was your mindset? Because you talked about clarity. Like you could see it happen.
Yeah.
Was it as easy as it followed? Or was it more difficult? Like sometimes things are easy.
Yeah.
Things are more difficult.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the question is how badly do you want it? And funny enough, I don't think I ever sat in that time when I was doing what I had to do to make it work, thinking this is difficult. I was thinking this is essential. This is something I have to do. And also as well, I just, you know, I kept going back to that vision. Now looking back, is it easy? No. That's why not everybody does it. That's why I think a lot of the time as well, it is that whole term, it's massive action for a period of time. And I think sometimes in the whole coaching and developing world, we talk about taking massive action all the time. Mm. And we all know that, like now, I love to take massive action and lay on my sofa maybe on a week, you know, like on a Saturday night, because I work like crazy. But I think what worked for me was saying, I'm going to work like crazy for 30 days. Let me just go for it for 30 days, make 100 calls a day for 30 days, Monday to Friday. Okay. And then on the weekend, I'd review and I would also do my follow-ups, especially on the weekend. And it was just, it's a very high level of action. And you have to just eliminate those distractions during that time.
And what I really liked about your strategy that you are talking about right now is the simplicity.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you're different or similar, but I'm very like super creative and going out there and looking at every single shiny object. And I really have to pull myself on, actually, why don't I make it simple? And what I love about what you were saying is make 100 phone calls a day, weekend for follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right? And the evenings follow-up as well. So I was sending out, a lot of it was copy-paste emails, change the name at the top.
Yeah.
But that simple process. And also where I'd struggled the previous time, or actually not made it work the previous time, was that I had too many ideas and I was trying to chase too many things. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, you know, what is the real me? What am I passionate about? Where can I add value to the world? And it always comes back to I'm in my center. I'm in my element when I'm helping others. Yeah. In front of a classroom or on stage.
Yeah, that's and I think that when you are in that element, when you are, you find what is that you want, then it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
Like it might feel like work in certain parts because not every part of the business is the training part.
Yeah.
But so right now, you talked about 100 calls a day.
Yeah.
100 calls a day. What was your strategy in those calls?
Very simple.
What I want you guys to get from this is something that you can really replicate. Because the reason, very reason why we do these interviews is to connect you with people that you can learn from. And then you say, oh, actually, I like his model. I like the way he does. So go and contact Pete so he can give you even more information and give more details and even depth training. Now, 100 calls a day. What was the structure of the call? What were you doing in those calls?
So very much I believe in a helping mentality. And what I mean by that is that we I feel like everyone's trying to sell everything now. Mm. And it's about building relationships. And one of the most humble and yet still professional things you can do is ask for help. And you can ask strangers for help as well. So even though I had my motive to be able to get into companies and start training them, I would quite literally call through to companies and ask to speak to the HR manager because it's the HR manager or learning and development manager. And I actually, I did buy a membership to a website that had the list of all of, like it had 77,000 companies plus contact numbers and even had people's names. Wow. And you buy that list for a few £100.
What is that? Do you mind sharing what the website is?
HR Nation.
HR Nation. Okay, yeah. Artie, write this down. It's going to be put in the blog. HR Nation, is that .com?
Maybe .co.uk.
Yeah,
it's something a few years ago now that I was using. I'm not getting any commission from them at all, by the way. But
you should.
Yeah, so I used them, but also I had, to be fair, a lot of it was just Google. You know, like if you're not an investor in £100 in this or you've not got that right now, just Google. Think of the industry that you want to work with. And for me, it was, you know, corporate training is my thing.
Yeah.
And so I literally would call, ask to be put through to the HR manager or the learning development coordinator, whoever, HR department. So you start off, call, go through to the HR department. And then once I got through to the right person, or even if I didn't, I would ask who the right person is. But instead of trying to sell something, I would very much just say, look, I'm just doing some research right now. This is just me. You know, I sold it as a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's just me. I've just quit my job and I'm not looking for a job, but I'm going to be setting up. I didn't say I'd set up. I said, I'm going to be setting up as a freelance trainer, but I want to get an idea of what companies use freelance trainers. or if you use, if you do staff development, do you do that in-house or do you use any external training companies?
Very smart.
And you'd be amazed that going from that helping angle, just can you help me out? I'm just trying to get an idea. Because I'm going to, that's what I said, I'm going to be calling companies to speak to them about it. So yeah. That was my calling companies, but I did it from a help from can you help me angle? And they would tell me everything. I say, oh yeah, if they say, no, we don't do any, we don't use any external trainers, I could then cross them off.
So you could shortlist the companies that actually were looking for those external trainers or not. And I think that there is something I really wanted to reflect on this one is the principle behind what you're doing. Because one is people love to give. People love to help unless they are pricks. This is another story.
That happens if I know the pricks.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other people that actually they don't want to be sold, but they want to help.
Yeah.
So right now, by you saying I'm going to be, you don't ask in any commitment. It's not that they are saying this guy is calling me because he wants my money.
Yeah. As soon as you say I'm going to be, they suddenly feel like you're on their level. At least that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they relate to you. Oh my goodness, you're good for you. What are you going to be doing? And suddenly they start asking you all these questions, which are actually questions that normally you have to explain yourself about. They were asking me,
what kind of questions?
What training do you do? Oh, wow, that's amazing. Oh, we do actually use external trainers. Please send us your info. And I'm like, oh, well, I haven't really got anything ready. And I've got the whole thing ready.
Yeah.
So I played this different angle because I feel like we're sold to all day from the moment we get out of bed in the morning to the moment we go to bed at night. And actually, I believe we get back to that core principle that people want to help. And actually, I felt at the time, I actually felt like I needed the help. So it was a good thing to, and I felt the most honest I'd ever been. If I call and try and make a sale, I don't feel like I'm being honest. If I call and genuinely ask for help, I feel like I'm actually being the real me.
Yeah, because when the situation is like, I got to make it work. I need help now.
Yeah.
there was no plan B.
Let the ego go, Let the ego go and just ask. Don't sell, ask.
That's brilliant. So then what were you doing? So we talk about step number one, take the phone and say, this is what I'm going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And can you please help? Can you give me more information about, were you asking more a general question during that call? Or were you looking for specific things from them?
Well, once they said yes, that they used external trainers, I would then just ask a couple of questions. Well, do you use freelancers? Or do you use companies? Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference. Sole traders, limited companies. Just a few questions like I was researching.
Yeah.
All the while, I'd set up my limited company and I knew what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I was interested to get an idea. And I said, what type of training do you do? Because there's a difference between if someone says, yes, we do lots of external training. And I say, well, what training is it? And they say health and safety and IT. That's not for me. But I can take a note and maybe outsource that later on if they have a need. But, I was looking for sales, emotional intelligence, and presentation skills. Nice. And I teach a lot more than that. But I kept the conversation very simple because if I started talking about, hey, I do advanced business strategy, I do conflict resolution, I do leadership, it becomes a massive sales pitch.
Yeah.
And so I'm very passionate about emotional intelligence. I love the training people to present. And I also, I love sales and the three all link together because you need to be emotionally intelligent to sell. And to sell, you really need to be able to present.
Otherwise.
It's like a triangle.
Yes.
But don't try and sell all of your products. I wasn't even selling it. But once they started asking me, what is it that you do? X, Y, and Z. I would want to tell them, oh, I do all these things. Let me send you my long list.
It's like the rookie error of getting so excited. Okay, wow, they're interested. Okay, I do A, B, C, D, E, and do. Yeah.
It really is true. Master one one area. I don't even consider it three areas, those I consider it just, you know, I work with, you know, getting people's mindset right through the emotional intelligence, through the, you know, the sales and the presentation skills. So then I could ask more engaging questions about, well, have you got anything in place for this, so on and so forth. And actually what I did, and it's still available on my LinkedIn, I wrote, this was a later time though, but I wrote an article saying something like the predictions of the learning evolution.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, sometimes point them in the direction of that. And I just literally would send, you know, a follow-up email saying, thanks so much for chatting. And I did that immediately, by the way, as soon as I got off the phone. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. You've really helped me. Here's a little bit more about what I do. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I can pop over and see you, you know, if you want to have a chat or whatever. But it was just very like soft sell, but still, I'm still a wolf or shark or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't have.
It's like you're a shark on with a lamb dress.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it really important going to the follow up as Peter just suggested? Follow up immediately, because what happens? A lot of people. Even I was doing a Facebook Live a few days ago on the importance of following up. Because as a public speaker, what I mainly do, I don't do much training in corporate, but I do training in seminars.
Yeah.
And I do seminars and I sell from stage.
Yeah.
And what happens before, I didn't do any follow up other than the people that actually bought on the day.
Yeah.
Good, great conversion. I'm happy.
Made
my thousands and I'm fab. Then my business partner, Ben, I was like, okay, let's start following up also on the other people.
Yeah.
It's like giving them phone calls.
Sure.
What did you enjoy? Why didn't they join?
Yeah.
And understanding more. So, and that was done immediately. So guys, make sure, as Peter's suggesting, follow up immediately, because
be proactive.
Yeah.
Be proactive. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, why are you doing, you know, I always think why, at the time I was doing it, and even now, still today, I'm always thinking, why am I doing my business? Mm. It's to serve, it's to make a difference, and I have a responsibility. The symptom of running that business is the income. You know, there's revenue. Of course, you charge what you do, and that is the exchange. But initially, it comes from the that you have a responsibility to get out there, and if you want to look at it this way, make the world a better place, or make your industry a better place, or inspire people in, you know, a certain way. And I definitely believe fully in human interaction. Pick up the phone, be social, chat with them, ask questions. Don't let your fear, you know, of picking up the phone stop you from your ultimate success that you're meant to achieve.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, did you have any fear at the beginning? Was it comfortable, uncomfortable picking up the phone?
No,
was for you.
It was horrible. Like any human being that picks up the phone to hundreds of people every week that you have no idea who they are. But what you do is, you know, obviously you, I had an Eric Thomas thing that I listened to like seven times every morning, you know, so I did my, but then also I found.
So you were really going into your mindset.
You get right into your mindset. Yeah. I always had a coffee, you know, and I set up my desk in my little studio apartment facing, you know, the patio. So, you know, and then from there, though, I actually stood up for my course. If right. I sat down, you start to go into yourself. And if you have a tough couple of calls, you'll quit.
Yeah.
I would. I don't know about the people watching this, listening to this, but I know if I sit trying to call, so I would actually just stand up on every single call and you know, just walk around. And then when you stand, it's so much easier to be positive. It's really hard to be like, you know, nervous and fearful if you're stood up with great body language, right?
It is.
It's such a simple thing, but it really worked for me. And also it meant that I was moving all day instead of sitting, you know, on the phone.
Yeah, it means we're doing some push-ups and just like, I'm calling the HR department. Whoa, exactly. What's going on?
I may have done a few push-ups. I may have done a few invisible high fives.
high five in the air.
For yourself. It's I closed the deal.
I think the main thing though is making it a temporary thing. Like
the
thought of having to do 100 calls a day for the following year, there's no way. It's like, here's Everest, why don't you climb the whole thing now? It's not going to happen. You know, you go, right, okay, let's just do this, sprint at this for a period of time. Can I do the next 5 days? Let me do the next 10 days or whatever it is. For me, it was 30 days. I was just like, and I remember when I had my leaving party at my job, and a colleague who's now a friend actually anyway, walked over and he had a big smile on his face, and he said, he shook my hand, he went, Pete, I know you've got some contracts already signed. And it was only in that moment that it actually dawned upon me. And I remember it's clear as day that I didn't have any contracts. I couldn't afford my rent in London. And my rent was like, you know, £1,000 a month that was 4 weeks later. I couldn't afford it. The thought of staying in a job another year and not doing things on my, I had a great job. But the thought of not living on my terms wasn't for me.
Wasn't for you. And well, this is gotta hustle. It's not like you just gotta hustle. Hello, Kevin. Thank you very much for being in the room tonight. Do you have any question that you want to ask Pete or Artie? Do you have any question at the moment for Pete? Anything that you would like to ask him?
What kept you going in the first 30 days? Like, what was it, that one thing that...
Lots of coffee. honestly, it's knowing that. So, one thing I'm not sure if I mentioned that the job that I was doing, I was actually in a corporate training job. So I'd seen the evidence. So I'm talking to the camera. Hi, I'd actually seen that companies would pay for training, and I'd seen what that company I was working for was actually charging for training. So. Once I saw that it was possible, if it's possible for someone else, it's possible for me. And so I just kept focused on that. And actually, I thought at the end of the day, if I can just get 3 or 4 training days, I match my salary.
Yeah.
Let alone 20 days
of a normal.
Like. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what happened. My first month, I delivered 4 training days. I matched my my salary, my monthly salary. The following month, I delivered 11 training days, and so I more than doubled my old salary, and never really looked back. And I encourage anybody that it's not just belief. It's having complete certainty, clarity, knowing that you're offering true value, and yeah, so that all matters.
It all stacks up. Is it little pieces of the puzzle?
Yeah.
They're going all together. And we have a question from Kevin. I don't know if he's coming live here.
Okay.
But the question is, where do you guys get your suits from? What is that? Where do you get your suits? You will not. You got to.
I should have done this up before. I'm sorry. I was looking. Where's your suit from?
My suit. I think this one is either TK Maxx or something like that.
Okay. This is from Italy. Zenga suit.
Zenga suit.
Yeah, I treated myself to this. This is actually, I said, when I go to Italy, because I did 2 weeks again, everything I'm wearing, actually, almost everything, is all from when I've been traveling, training. So, and you have to put the rewards in for yourself. So,
exactly. And in particular, get a good Italian suit, guys.
Yeah.
Help Italian economy, please. We need help down there in Italy. It's tough at the moment, so buy Italian suits.
It didn't seem tough in Milan. They were taking plenty of money from a few people on that day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Depends, like, yeah, in lacking everything.
Yeah.
But okay, so we have answered Kevin's question. Right. Simone, you're a traitor. The English guy has an Italian suit and you don't. I know. Buddy I hope to make up for this. Guys from Italy, peace. I love you. Wow. Okay. Now, we're talking after the follow-up.
Mm.
So you have hustled, you made your call, you asked for help, you followed up. Then what happens after?
Well, okay, so I got to, you have to measure. There's no point just hustling and not measuring what you're doing. For every 250 calls, we convert into a paying client. And so people say, well, 250 calls to get one client, that's a lot. But you don't focus on the 249, focus on that one. And it's actually very, very easy. If you do this whole concept, it's very easy to get meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, you come from a helping philosophy, you've done the follow-up, and then what would happen is then they'll say, this is great. Yeah, at the end of the day, if you've established a need that that company uses external coaches or trainers, therefore they have a budget for it, then you may say, well, are you open for more, more trainers in the future? They say yes. Then you just let that conversation flow into, let's have a meeting. Mm-hmm. And with the follow-up, and being in London is a big advantage. Yeah. So if you're a coach or a trainer or wherever you are in the world, I guess being in a major city is important. That helped me a lot. And I just set up meeting after meeting after meeting. And I just went again with that very open mind. Mm-hmm. But would just say, right, what is it do you want? That whole question. It's the most simple question in sales that we never ask. Usually we're like, I got a meeting. Let me go there and present and I'll take my PowerPoint. I wouldn't even take my laptop. Yeah. I'll go, I'd suit, tie, for every meeting.
Dressed up.
Yeah. And I would sit down and say, hey, nice, do the personal stuff. What is it that you're looking for? Mm. Yeah. And work from that angle. Find out what it is that they're, and most of the time they kind of know. From that point, a lot of those meetings at the beginning, were just great meetings.
Yeah.
But great meetings that didn't convert are still not great meetings, but they gave me practice. Mm-hmm. And I think probably out of every four meetings, one converted into a client.
So you had basically 150 calls to convert to one client, to one meeting.
No,
to a client. Client.
Yeah,
yeah. 150 calls to a client.
Yeah, so I'd have a few. Meetings were pretty easy, actually. Yeah. I remember one week particularly, I set up 11 or 12 meetings. I was like, this is great. So, I'd pack them all in. Companies are open-minded. Sometimes we put this corporate thing up and we think, oh, no, that big company won't want to speak to. Well, they're really hard to work with. The reason why they're difficult to get into is because they don't want to be sold to.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. They don't want to hear how your training or coaching is the best or that you're using some new psychoanalytical training that no one cares about that. And, they do care.
Yeah.
But after, people care about human beings.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we can add the human factor and still maintain professionalism, because that's crucial as well. We can't get to a point where we're like, let's just go and wear what we want. And, you still need to be professional, but have that humble, but absolutely driven approach. And I firmly believe that I've always felt like my wiring. I remember saying to my mum many years ago, I'm like, I think my wiring is the wrong way. Like, and I'm okay with that. So, because you just got to be persistent.
Just keep going and keep going and keep going up until you have the target and you reach your target.
Yeah. Be real. Don't like, I'm actually not a fan of being like, yeah, come on. Like, that's not necessarily for me. I like an inner drive.
Yeah.
I like that inner, like, I'm going to make this happen. And instead of, sometimes we say, oh, well, you've got to keep learning. And we have this whole thing in personal development, don't we? That, you learn from your mistakes, etc.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's about just moving on and going, I had a really bad day today.
I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. Saying, today I had terrible calls. I feel like I didn't move forward.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's have dinner. Let's watch a movie. And that's the thing. My secret in the evenings is I just did something that was like a no-brainer thing. Mm-hmm. Like just put on the Netflix or whatever
Suits.
Rubbish series. Wasn't out then. So probably series one of Walking Dead or something back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still do that now because I'm up for like 4 or 5 in the morning. I go like crazy all day. I actually need a couple of hours in the evening where I just TV with commercials, but just a series. And I think that's important. I think sometimes we undervalue that in personal development to actually switch off.
The switch off time, and it's all about learning. And
you should learn from all your failures. No, sometimes just go,
fuck.
Yeah,
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Move past it.
What did I say?
And let's just roll on tomorrow, you know, like, and just hit it hard again tomorrow. Sometimes you're not actually meant to learn something, I don't think. I actually think you're just meant to, that's just, it's a demonstration. How bad do you want it?
That's we have also Daniel Roberts here in the room. Thank you very much for joining, Daniel. If you guys have any question, make sure you pop in live, let Artie know so we can get your question answered. Now, I have another question regarding your next step, which is where you're involved at the moment, massively, which is the spa industry and the beauty industry.
Right?
So now,
maybe it's because I'm very beautiful.
You are. You're gorgeous. I'm like, I don't know. Probably that's why you got so many contacts, because they were seeing you and they were like, oh.
It's official. Yeah. Okay.
Did you go there naked or dressed?
Well, not naked.
Not naked.
Half.
Okay. Half. Yeah. That's the secret. So with the shirt and, okay, no. Right. Moving on. Now, the question is, now you are in the spa and beauty industry. Sure. As a trainer, and you're building a massive platform for that industry.
That's out there already.
It's out there already. So can you tell us a bit more about why the spa industry? What is the opportunity that you spot? Because when I talk to a lot of corporate training, they never mention that industry.
Yeah.
They're like, so when I talk to you, you were like, we're running this platform where I run training courses for the spa industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa.
Well, first of all, so my original business, which we've been talking about all evening, I work with all industries, so oil companies, banks, media companies, recruitment, all of those things. However, before I did all of that, I worked on cruise ships in my 20s, and I actually went on as a personal trainer, and then by quite a young age, I was managing the spa and gym. I've never done my own nails, let alone somebody else's, or makeup, or all of those things. However, I was very good at training therapists to believe in themselves, to have the right mindset, right, and to be able to inspire their clients. And what I liked was that if you go and get a massage, you can inspire somebody to, you know, if that client can be inspired to actually take on a better lifestyle. So that really all works for me. So when I came off cruise ships, I asked myself, is there that need? Because I don't think the colleges train sales, business skills. And when I looked into it, it has one of the highest failure rates for new businesses in the world. It's mostly people are practically trained, you know, massage, nails, hair, but marketing their business, no clue. Creating a Facebook page, no clue. How to sell, no clue. So basically, the area that I took care of originally, and I've been doing this for years, was that I would go into a business and I would actually say, right, I'll come in and train your business for free. And if you do the best retail sales or the product sales that you've ever done, then you pay me. And I did that 11 times, and every single business I went into paid me within 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So they were getting the best results ever. And so then I started being asked to speak at all these events and write for all these magazines. And the next thing, I was just in Dubai, actually, a big industry event. I spoke to about 500.
With Jean-Pierre Deville?
So
he's going to be one of the next guests here on the show.
Is he?
Well,
I'm seeing him tomorrow. So, yeah, say hi as well. So basically, there's a big, big challenge in that industry. But it's also still rapidly growing. And I thought a few years ago, it became a dream of mine to turn my service into a product, but also to bring in the best of the best people who help that industry already. So financial trainers, leadership trainers, soft skills trainers. And so I basically started to build a second business where we have all of these courses available, many of them free. But I thought, you know, people don't just want to go to a website and learn anymore. They want to socialize. You know, the question that you should never ask when you have a website is, you know, people say, how do I get people to my website? The answer is easy. Just tell them. You shouldn't ask that question. Yeah. Ask, how do we get people to go to the website every day and hang out there?
Yeah.
So I didn't just want to build a training company. I went to build a social learning company. Mm-hmm. So we've been working very, very hard for the last almost 2 years to build the whole social element.
Yeah.
So anybody that joins, they join for free, they get a profile, they there's a news feed. We're just adding that feature now, actually. You can add friends within the industry. So when you go there and your news feed is all about your industry.
So it's a kind of Facebook for just this spine beauty industry with a training platform attached to it.
Yeah, and the great thing is that, so let's say you're a spa therapist. You look like a spa therapist. So you're,
we have actually a question on this, which is Simone not wearing trousers as this laptop is covering that side of the screen? No? Okay, no, I'm wearing trousers, guys. Don't worry. It's the first time I have the interview with Pete. The second interview is the one with the
more casual, yeah.
It's building a relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Love you, Kevin. You're awesome.
So that's totally throwing my
horse. Okay, now we're talking that I look like a spa therapist. So someone is a spa therapist.
You join and you go and do perhaps you go and do a course in sales.
Yeah.
It will show on the newsfeed, the community newsfeed, that you've just completed a course in sales. So now everybody in that community can say, hey, what did you think of the course? Did you learn anything? And you can say, yeah, it was great. I learned this, I learned that. So it becomes this whole social learning positive, which that industry needs, positive environment. Instead of Facebook where, you know, you've got one motivational video and then the next thing on your newsfeed is, I hate my life. You know, the government is X and Y and blah, blah, blah. And you know, so I'm like, well, why don't we just create like mini Facebooks? And they're not mini because, you know, the spa industry alone, if we penetrate and get 2% of the industry, it's a seven-figure company with millions of people, members. You know, that would be great. We'll see what happens. But yeah, and I think every industry needs something like this.
That is really interesting, the concept of creating a place where people can hang around.
That's a secret.
That's a really is about connection.
Yeah.
And it's about having, like, for example, Facebook is doing is a website. I think a lot of people don't think in this way, but Facebook is a damn website.
Yeah. It's true. So that's all it is. Yeah. So we have instant chat. So if you add me as a friend, you can chat to me instantly on there. We have group chats as well. So we have a hangout on Sunday and Thursday nights. It's not Thursday today, is it?
It's Thursday.
Oh, whoops. That'll be happening. But again, that's happening. I don't need to be on there. Yeah. That's happening in the background.
Yeah.
That, you know, that people, managers usually go in there at the moment while we're growing. But what has been amazing is the fact that people don't just go there. They go there and they spend hours there. And that's what. That for me is the problem to solve if you're trying to build an online business.
So how is it? Easier difficult was to build this kind of platform and getting people to hang around there and to stick with there? Okay, that side says a lot.
Well, I definitely have a story for, you know, the future. Yeah, it's I'm not gonna lie and say, oh, this is so easy. You know, this has been last 2015 was amazing. I traveled all over the world. But every spare second I had was I was immersed into this.
Right.
You know, I had a team around me helping me to build. But it was 7 days full on because, you know, but if anything, though, like the one mistake I made was falling in love with the product and said, this needs to be better. That needs to be better. And we probably could have launched a few months earlier.
Right.
And I think that done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
So as the legendary Steve Jobs would have said. I think that's for future builds like this. I'm not saying we should rush it, but work very, very hard, but then also am I just falling in love with my own product here? Or do we need to get out to the world?
Because now it's time. And I think that sometimes there are this, we want to really be perfect. Now, Artie, yes, go for it.
What is the name of your site?
Oh, if you go to the domain, it's sparbeautysuccess.com. So www.sparbeautysuccess.com.
Sparbeautysuccess.com.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing platform. Now, I think that also there is an opportunity for coaches and speakers to sell their programs on the platform? Well, how does it work? Because I think that can be very relevant to the guys that are listening today.
Absolutely. So number one is that...
particularly Artie, she's a health coach.
Right.
So,
Here we go. Number one is that we were looking for experts all the time, people within that industry, and even outside the industry who can offer value. Anybody can help that industry to improve. And but also we're looking to build the exact same thing, the personal development industry. Mm-hmm. So, there's that opportunity there as well. I was chatting to Warren earlier, and we're going to partner and build this for the personal development industry too. So it's exciting. It's very exciting. But have a look at it and, join up. Again, of course, the functionality of Facebook, you're not going to go there and be able to upload videos and pictures like you can on Facebook onto your.
Yeah.
But what I've learned through this process is that people are not looking for the next Facebook. They're not looking for better functionality.
They already have Facebook.
It's the whole thing. Okay, so you could go to the best nightclub in the world, but if it's empty and you're only allowed in there 5 minutes, it's still not a great nightclub. But you can go to a place where everybody wants to hang out, who are your sort of people. They're like you, similar, ideas and similar values. The surroundings can get better as it goes along. So we still have a very high standard, but at the same time, though, it's just... get it out there and getting it out there and ensuring that people, are on board.
Brilliant. Now, I have another question for you before we are going in the last 15 minutes of the interview. Sure. Now, your biggest screw up, the thing that you said, man, that was top.
Just one?
Choose a couple, but the biggest one first.
Biggest one. 24 years old, walking into the bank when they were giving money away and saying, can I have a loan? I'm going to start a business. Thinking that I was going to change the world. I created a website called, I didn't create it. I paid a lot of money for someone else to build it. It's called Connect for Success. And the idea would be that you join for £9 a month. You get membership and every week you go in and there's your next lesson in how to be healthy or how to lose weight or and then
connect. So you were already a personal development freak at 24.
Oh yeah, somebody I didn't get any GCSEs in school and I was shy and I'm naturally an introvert. Most people don't believe that, but I get my energy from being by myself. But I love business, so from the age of, somebody gave me a book on NLP when I was like 18. And they gave me another book on learning how to learn. And that started it for me.
Yeah.
But my biggest screw up, though, was actually just leading my business with pure emotion. But being young, going for it. And again, falling in love with the product, but not just getting it out there. Because that could have been the branding was right. It was functional. But I didn't put enough time into marketing. And I put every bit of time into going, look at this great website, to my family and friends who weren't going to buy from me. And then before you know it, the bank's going, oh, by the way, you owe us a lot of money. And I'm calling my dad going, Dad, I got myself in a bit of trouble. He's like getting the checkbook out. Son, how much? And I tell him, he's like, you're on your own.
How much was that, if I can ask you?
I paid about six figures over the following 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, in total. But that was combined.
With all the different
ones. You're like, oh, I'll just get a credit card to cover that one. And then before you know it. But I'm glad that I had that lesson early on. Mm-hmm. But now I try, I'm very, like anybody's in business, you like to think you're very passionate. But I've learned, never make an immediate decision. Like, have all the passion in the world, but make your decisions from a neutral mind. Decisions from a high, yeah, let's do this, that's a great idea, or decisions from a low are usually, in my experience for my life, they're usually decisions that don't work out the way that I want. But neutral mind.
When you have time to assess them, strategize them.
Meditate, yeah, definitely.
This is something that I still got to learn.
I know.
This is, when I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Then I find a way to figure it out.
You do, yeah.
But is that level of pressure or stress that goes beyond that? So I actually definitely agree with you. And if there is a message that I can share, guys, make sure, as you said, Pete said, make your decision from a place where, okay, I get this. Now what's next?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, we always promote, and I promote this in what I do, work like crazy, you know, be this, be that. But as I get a bit more seasoned in life, I can say, right? So I'm mid-30s now, okay? Good skincare program.
Yeah, Did you get affiliate from...
Exactly.
They give you samples.
Yeah. By the way, we have affiliate program on Spa Beauty Success. So if anyone wants to become an affiliate and send people, you can earn to help people learn. What was I saying?
Definitely, guys, to share that. So if you want to become an affiliate, to make sure you go to spabeautysuccess.com. And then,
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah. See, I've been in meetings all day and talking all day, and this is what happens at the end of the day. We always promote work like crazy, give 1,000,000%. And I'm the first, but I'm all in. You want to start at 3 a.m. with me? I'll be there. Yeah. You want to work through the night? I'm all for it. Get it done, work like crazy, do everything. But I'm starting a little bit to realize that it's not just about that.
Yeah.
You know, get the systems in place and get those. And now I like the idea of, you know, if you gave me a choice now of starting one of two businesses, one is work like crazy, give it 1,000,000%, do the 100 calls, you know, go through your comfort zone and, you know, learn to get comfortable being totally uncomfortable and all that. Or let's just lay down these great systems, get this out to the world, and let the system do all the work.
Yeah.
I'll take the system every time. And that's a lesson. If I was to speak to my younger self, not that I have any regrets, but if I had an opportunity to speak to my younger self, that's the one thing I would share.
And I think that would you... How about, because I think that this can be a double-edged sword. That's just my opinion on this.
Yeah.
On the fact that, and this is also reflecting on how I've learned.
Sure.
Because now I'm completely on board with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Build a system and let the system do the work.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I didn't know what the heck to do or what actually was working or not. Sure.
Yeah.
So is there like a kind of a stage where, first of all, you actually got to figure out what the system is or what to do to put in the work in and put the hustle in, or just starting from the system?
I think it comes back to your why.
Yeah.
You know, why you do what you do. And you know, for some crazy reasons, from whatever age, I've had this voice in my head, I should probably get it checked out from a specialist, but I've had this voice in my head that's like, you know, you have a responsibility. If you're on this planet, you're here for such a short period of time. Don't ever count your age. Never, like, I'm 35. I never say I'm 35. I know I've got about, if I live till 90, I'm an optimist. Okay, you know, 90 will be a good age. I'm not really fussed about living to 150. Like, I just want to make a difference while I'm here. I've got about 21,000 days left. And I think it's about 4,000 weeks, you know. So, you know, for me, it's like I start from that 4,000 weeks to go. And by the way, I don't intend to work like crazy at 70, right? So I've probably got like half that, 2,000 weeks left to make my mark and make a difference in the world. And I think if everybody, you know, could, you know, take a little bit of that in whatever it is for them, you still got to start there. And get yourself right first and then find that right system. Build it or go and find someone else who's done the system.
Yeah.
So that's actually the best way of doing it.
Find someone else done the system and then borrow the system.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, what's amazed me is all the affiliates. I had 25 applications for affiliates just yesterday alone for Spa Beauty Success from one Facebook status update that I said, I'm looking for affiliates. And what amazed me is that we have this thing that says, why are you applying? Why do you think you make a great affiliate? And see, I'm like an obsessive, like I've got to build something and I've got to look at it and be like, that's my baby. But actually not everybody wants to build from scratch. And, you know, go and use a system. that someone else has built. And it can
and you can just promote them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there is a different level. Like, this is why, okay, we have a question. Do you want to jump in, Kevin? Do you want to jump in live, Kevin?
There's two questions, one from Daniel, one from Kevin.
Okay. So we have, do you want to jump in, Daniel, as well? Because we are wrapping up. We have about the last 5-10 minutes of the interview.
Daniel said no. She's only got the one question, so she's all right.
Okay, so you have. What's the question, Artie?
Did you get many people telling you it's too hard, or you know, not to do it?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And it's mostly close people. The tough thing is when it's your family, who I love so much, you know. But you have to separate. It's not their dream; it's yours. And the biggest thing that I found, because I went through the whole, like, I became an NLP practitioner. I went on tons of personal development seminars and did all of that 10 years ago, especially. And I do a lot now. And I get to speak at some of these that I went to, which is even better. And I would go away from it and I'd be like, yeah, I've got my purpose. And then I would go and tell my dad, you've got to change your life. And my dad's sitting there at 60. He's like, I'm not going to change. So you create a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important. Everybody has a purpose and a role to play. And the reason why I surround myself with business owners and, you know, entrepreneurial type people now is because that's like, if you play golf, you want to surround yourself with people that play golf. You know, you don't want to go to the tennis court and start swinging a golf club being like, hey, everyone play this game. It's much better. You just find like-minded people. But I think where people come in and try and stop you, it's not necessarily, it's not because they're bad people. It's just because that, you know, you're moving away from what they know. Everyone has an internal map, and suddenly you're not fitting their internal map anymore. And in the primal brain, that means danger. Yeah, because primarily speaking, we survive as a pack animal. And if one of the animals, you know, like in Disney, where one of the animals in the jungle decides to go and live their dream, that doesn't happen in real life. In real life, if that animal leaves the pack, it dies. There's no happy ending for the animal, right? But so I do agree. Hey, you know what? Fire your friends. If you've got bad friends, fire them.
Yeah.
Everybody's got ex-boyfriends and girlfriends. It's okay to have ex-friends. Just don't be an asshole.
I never heard this. About, it's completely fine. Yeah, you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend that doesn't work out. You have also a friend that doesn't work out.
It just doesn't work.
I remember when I started in personal development, my journey, I changed all my friends completely. Yeah. There are currently only four people. Actually, five at the moment that were belonging to my younger version, before, like era pre-personal development. Let's put, if you have to divide an era.
Yeah, yeah, of course,
five
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And I kept my mom. Yeah. She's one of them.
You have to keep your mom. Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
And my dad as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something really, really important. So we had a question. We have a last question from Kevin.
Sure.
Artie?
Kevin's question is, what is your true why?
It's always that question, isn't it? What's your true why? I think it's difficult for me I've been asked this a few times and some people are like, this is my why. I honestly struggle to put that into like just one sentence. I just feel I have this responsibility. I've heard, I don't know how true this is, the highest level of consciousness is to serve, to make a difference. I'm like obsessive, ridiculously obsessive over the fact that I have to make a positive impact during the time that I'm here, because I don't know how long that will be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I, you know, and people say, oh, you're so negative. Actually, I'm not. Like, I look at it that we're just here to do something. So take what you've got. That's your resource. You know, look at your resources right now. You don't need loads of money to start. You just need a hustle, you know, and you need some kind of focus. And, you know, go with what feels right. And it's a figuring out process. It really is. I'm still figuring it out all the time. I'm by no means. So my why is really, I just have a responsibility. It's like I find myself a lot of the time end up doing a Facebook Live before I go. I'm about to go to bed and I'm like, no, I need to make an impact today. Yeah. You know, and I try and strategize that as, you know, I used to just be like, oh, let's just do this, all emotion, right? So I try and do all those decisions from a neutral standpoint and that neutral mind now. But yeah, responsibility to make a difference with the time that I'm here.
That's brilliant, guys. So Pete, thank you very, very, very much. It's been incredible having you here. Now, for people that want to connect with you, do you have a course that you're running coming available, or do you have something where they can join you, or they can contact you? What do you have?
I think the best thing, add me on Facebook for now. Like, this is social, right? So add me on Facebook. I've got some exciting announcements happening. That's like, yeah. So look me up. Pete.scott.35 is my actual Facebook. You know, you get the whole, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Pete, can you please write it down to Pete.scott.35.
Yeah, feel free to add me. Like I say, I'm working on some things in the background right now for coaches, trainers, which is really, really exciting. So I don't have that announcement right now, but within the next week, 2 weeks at the most, I have a very exciting announcement that I can't wait to share. That's going to be happening.
I'm looking forward to that now.
Yeah,
exactly. Got me excited now.
So excited, but then back to neutral mind.
No, I'm not excited anymore.
So you got excited with neutral mind. Yeah.
No. All right. Okay, Pete. Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It's been great interviewing you.
Pleasure having
me. I would love to have you again.
Of course.
That's definitely, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much for watching or listening to another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. For those of you that you are live, you rock. You're awesome. I love you. For those of you that you are listening, I love you too. Don't worry. And we are live on Blab every week, every Thursday from 8 o'clock UK time to 9 o'clock UK time. And for any question that you have, please contact, get in touch with Pete, and get in touch with me. Thank you very much, guys. It's been great. And
thank you.
Always live with purpose.
Yes.
Ciao.
See you in the next one.